are Locked On Kentucky, your daily podcast on the Kentucky Wildcats. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, what is going on, Big Blue Nation? Welcome on in to Locked On Kentucky, your daily Kentucky Wildcats podcast. I'm your host, Lance Dahl, writer for Sports Illustrated for various SEC-related things. But on this podcast, we take a dive into all things Kentucky athletics. On today's episode of Locked On Kentucky, we are going to be discussing, well, a hodgepodge of transfer portal news. But the thing I want to dive into on today's episode is the fact that I think Antonio Reeves is coming back for Kentucky. There are several reasons to explain this. I'm going to dive into it in just a second. We're also going to answer one listener question on today's show because I think it deserves its entire segment. Going to dive into something football related, something that we have not discussed, I think, at all since the season ended. So make sure you stay tuned for that as well. If you have any questions that you would like to leave for the show, go ahead and drop them in the YouTube comments below. If you're watching there, if you're listening on podcast, wherever it may be, you can check us out on Twitter at LockedOnUK. Send me a message, tag me in a tweet. I'll do my best to answer the question if you have one there as well. Thank you so much for making Locked On Kentucky your first listen every single day. Want to remind everybody out there that we are free and available on all platforms wherever you may be listening. And if you're watching on YouTube, I would really appreciate it if you subscribed to the show. Again, we're trying to march closer to 5,000 subscribers before the end of the summer. I think we can do it. I really appreciate everybody that has been joining the bandwagon here. If you're listening on podcast, the best thing that you can do is you can subscribe to the feed, and then you can leave a review and let us know. If you're listening on Apple Podcast, let us know what you think about the show. That would be much appreciated. So let's go ahead and get into it here. I think Antonio Reeves has to be coming back for Kentucky this season. Again, like I said a second ago, there are a few reasons to point to this, some of which we've already been discussing on the show. I'll reiterate those today. But the main thing I want to dive into here is the fact that Reeves did not receive an invite to the NBA Combine, despite playing well over the, I don't necessarily know what you would call it at this point, because I honestly thought it was the NBA Draft Combine. Maybe it's like the NBA G League type of combine. I was watching the live streams over the weekend, the ones that they were streaming on YouTube. I got to watch Reeves perform in the couple of games that he was in. Shout out John Fanta, by the way. My relationship with him is a story for another time. We don't know each other, but we do. It's a really entertaining story, actually, that I may tell you guys at some point this summer. But he was the color commentator on this broadcast. Really made it fun to listen to because I like him a lot. But Reeves played well in these two games. He had 16 points in one of these games. If I'm not mistaken, that was a team high for that individual contest. He averaged 10.5 points, 3.5 rebounds, if I'm not mistaken. He played well. The second game, I believe, he did not play as well. He did not shoot the ball well, at least in the moments that I saw. And at the end of the day, he didn't receive a combine invite. Just simple as that. Shibway did, and Chris Livingston did as well, if I'm not mistaken. Casey Wallace, obviously, got one as well. But Reeves was the lone Wildcat to not be selected to kind of move on to the second part of this process here, which, by the way, just want to reiterate it, Oscar Shibway has until May 31st to pull out of the NBA draft. That's actually a conversation that we're going to have on tomorrow's episode, just to kind of tease that a little bit, because there's a possibility that Shibway could enter the transfer portal. And I'm not saying that there are any rumors out there that would be strongly indicating that that's very possible, but there are, in fact, rumors, so we're going to dive into that on tomorrow's episode. But I think that this would give Reeves more reason to come back to Kentucky. He's walked through the process. I think he's gotten as far as he can, literally. And so now the decision should be made to hop back into the transfer portal and go elsewhere or to come back to UK. Because after doing a little debating, having some conversations with some people, I think that we can start to discuss this starting lineup and this rotation in a bit of a different light if Kentucky is going to walk through the rest of the transfer portal cycle and not do the things that we expect them to do early on, or at least the things that I expected them to do early on, because I think it does truly change the dynamic of where Reeves ends up. It also changes the dynamic of where, you know, your center and your small forward spot fall. But Let's go ahead and discuss that. So at your point guard spot, it could be one of two players. It's probably going to be, in my opinion, Rob Dillingham running the show for Kentucky. Some of you disagree with that. Enough of you actually to the point where I've decided, you know what, let's talk about this 50-50 because at the end of the day, I don't really think it matters. DJ Wagner, Rob Dillingham, I think Wagner is more of a shooting guard type. I think Dillingham's more of a pure point guard. Although some of you in the comments have pointed out that ESPN has one of them listed as a shooting guard. Dillingham is, and then Wagner's listed as a point guard. Go and watch these kids' films. I believe 24/7 has Wagner as a combo guard. I think he also has, they also used to have, if they don't have him now, Dillingham as a combo guard as well. When both of these guys were picked up, I discussed on those episodes that I thought that they were both individually what I think of them now. I think Wagner's more of a two. Dillingham is certainly more of a one based on his ability to distribute. I think he's a better passer than DJ Wagner. That's not to say that Wagner's a bad passer. I'm saying that Wagner's, you know, more fit to be that off-ball guy, in my opinion, although he could be the guy on the ball. So Wagner, Dillingham, one of the two. Reeves could very well start at this two-guard spot. In fact, I think that it would make sense if he did. Now that we've kind of walked things out here on the show, I don't know how I would feel about Reeves sliding up to point. I've seen some of you talking about that in the YouTube comments about how he's versatile and can do all these different things. I think that he serves a purpose as either your small forward or your shooting guard. That's what the lineup rotation in KenPom reflects. I think that if you go and look at that and you see the most common lineups that Kentucky used, it was Reeves at the two, or it was at the small forward spot. That was the things that they ran, especially late in the season. I think that's what you're going to see here. Reeves could very well be your starting shooting guard. He could start over DJ Wagner, or he could start over the backup, which we'll get to in a second, at least the guy that could be the backup. Justin Edwards is your small forward. Aaron Bradshaw is your power forward. And then Oscar Tshiebwe, or a transfer center, or Uguna Nyenzo, is going to be your starting center. Again, it's a very fluid situation down low. We're just going to have to wait, and we're going to wait a long time because Tshiebwe is probably going to wait as long as he possibly can. Your backup spot, Rob Dillingham or Duthiero at point. Reed Shepard, I think, is your backup too, behind Antonio Reeves. Then you've got a Duthiero possibly that could slide in there as well. And then a Duthiero, I'm not sure that I'm a huge fan of it, but at this point, if Kentucky's not going to get a backup small forward in the transfer portal, then it's going to either be Antonio Reeves or a Duthiero. A Duthiero at this point is like 6'7". He's put on a lot of weight. I think that some of you in the YouTube comments have discussed the excitement around sliding him down. I think that if you have a talent like Thiero that can handle the ball and can score and can distribute and has the ability to develop into something flashy like a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander type, why wouldn't you let him run more in the backcourt instead of putting him down at that forward spot? I don't know. But if it's the way that your lineup has to work, because the goal at the end of the day in college is to win basketball games, and you know, maybe Kentucky, you know, lends an ear to how you want to develop these prospects to get them to the NBA stronger than maybe some other colleges, it still at the end of the day stands trying to win games, trying to put kids in the best position to succeed within that system. I still think that in Thiero's case, he works better in the backcourt because of that. But who knows? Maybe they decide that they want to rotate him down because they kind of have to. It's either him or it's Reeves. And then you've got Keyshawn Johnson, I think, who is going to commit to the Wildcats. We'll talk about him in just a second. And then Uguna Nyenzo. That's your backup back or front court, I should say. So Reeves has the ability to come back and be a focal point of this year's team, if you would like to be. But right now, as it stands, Kentucky is still very, very thin at a lot of different spots, which kind of brings me to my next point. I just mentioned it. Keyshawn Johnson, your backup power forward. Your power forward spot as a whole, I don't think is as strong as you would like it to be heading into the 23 season because of the fact that Aaron Bradshaw, as talented as he may be, he's still not, I think, your pure traditional power forward. Do you need one of those on your roster to succeed? No. But would it be nice to have a guy that's complimentary coming off the bench like Keyshawn Johnson? Absolutely. He will be committing, if you did not see this was like 3 days ago, he will be committing on May 20th. He will be committing this weekend on Saturday. I'm excited to see what he does. I expect him to come to Kentucky. He's choosing between the Wildcats. I think Arizona is probably the biggest player outside of Kentucky here. I would expect, based on the way the visit went, based on what we're hearing, I would expect Johnson to go ahead and become a Wildcat, and I think he would become a valuable one as that, as much as some people may want to trash on this kid's statistics or whatever he is. I saw one YouTube comment say something and about him, and then the next YouTube comment I saw earlier today completely contradicted what the other person said. It's just there's a lot of strong opinions both ways on a transfer portal player from San Diego State. So, yeah, if you've got any thoughts on Johnson, you can leave them in the YouTube comments below. I'm not going to say whether you're right or wrong. I'm just going to tell you I'm excited about him. And you can be whatever if you choose to be. Third thing I want to get to here. So if you didn't see it, and I believe we discussed this for a minute on the Thursday episode last week, there's a Kansas center transfer, Zuby Ejiofor. He is currently in the transfer portal. I think right as he hit the transfer portal is like similar to the Dickinson situation. Oh, Kentucky is a place to look here. Reason that Ejiofor was entering the portal is because Dickinson came in to Kansas. He wanted some playing time. Zuby did, and now he's heading out looking for a better place to land. He says, according to reports, that he wants to take a visit to Kentucky if Oscar Tshiebwe is not coming back. He's already set visits for Villanova, St. John's, TCU, San Diego State. According to Jack Pilgrim of KSR, the Wildcats coaching staff reached out to Ejiofor when he entered the portal on May 5th to relay the message that if Oscar does not come back, they will go after him. So, once again, I'm going to continue to reiterate this until Tshiebwe comes back, or if he doesn't, in which case I'm going to, you know, speak about it in a much darker tone. Tshiebwe, I understand why. I think he should. It makes sense. I'm not disagreeing with it for him. But what I'm saying here for Kentucky is that him being in the NBA draft process, as long as he wants to be, is not healthy for the Wildcats and their desires in the transfer portal, their desires to kind of shore things up. I think that that's pretty clear. There's not a whole lot of debating that. You've seen now several prospects come out and say, or according to reports or rumors or whatever have you, prospects have come out and said, look, we'd love to take a look at Kentucky, but to be completely honest with you, Oscar Tshiebwe is still in the mix, and I don't want to have to battle that. So until he announces where he's going to go, if he's going to stay, if he's going to, you know, leave, he's going to enter the transfer portal, which again, we'll talk about on yesterday or tomorrow's show, not yesterday's show. We'll talk about that tomorrow. If he enters the transfer, whatever he may do, I want to see him make a decision before I make a decision with Kentucky. That's what we've been hearing from all of these different transfer portal players. Has to be at least three or four now at the minimum that we've heard about. I guarantee you that there are several behind the scenes that we have just not heard discussed at all. For instance, I don't know if we ever truly heard it with Jamarian Sharp, but he committed to Ole Miss. And then Musa Cisse, by the way, a former high-profile recruit, played at Oklahoma State, if I'm not mistaken, played at Memphis before that. He committed to Ole Miss. Ole Miss is slowly building a really, really good team. Alan Flanagan from Auburn, he played there for 4 years. He's going to transfer into Ole Miss, and he's likely, if I'm not mistaken, and he's going to be a really talented forward for them. So there's a lot going on right now in the SEC where players are going in the front court elsewhere, and Kentucky is still sitting there twiddling their thumbs, just waiting for Oscar Tshiebwe to make a move. You know, he's told us that we could go after anybody we wanted in the portal, but, you know, we just kind of feel like waiting. I get it. It's not helping. And I don't think that there's a lot of disagreement in that. I think there may be some disagreement whether or not it's the right thing to do, which, I think it's the right thing to do for Tshiebwe. So if you've got any thoughts about anything going on in the transfer portal, if you've got any questions for the show, you can leave those in the YouTube comments below, again, or hit me on the socials at LockedOnUK. All right, I want to talk about a question from one of you guys, football-related. We've not discussed this since the end of football season, and I think that some of you are going to have some thoughts on it. So before we get to that, I want to tell you guys about our friends over at Built Bar. If you're looking for a really good snack, which right now, for me, I am looking for something to kind of take pre and post-workout, but you don't want all the sugar, you don't want all the calories, and you don't want to sacrifice the taste, which is something that you consistently sacrifice when you're looking for something healthier or a better option, I think you should try Built Bar. They've been a sponsor for a long time on the program. I've been really enjoying them since they've been a sponsor on the program, since I've been doing this show. They're really good for you, and they taste amazing. They're covered in 100% real chocolate. The macros on these things are phenomenal. 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and then 17 whopping grams of protein. They come in really, really good flavors. Churro, peanut butter brownie, cookies and cream, salted caramel, coconut. They've got these things called Puffs, Built does, where it's not just the protein bar, but it's a protein-infused marshmallow within it. It's really, really cool. Really, really great. I enjoy the taste and the fact that I think it's really good for you. It's refreshing to have a player like Built in the protein bar scene to kind of get something that I can enjoy whenever I want to be honest with you. It's a great snack. You can replace your candy bars with these, but something that I can help kind of focus with, something that we've talked about previously, talking about diving into New Year's resolutions, working out more, eating healthier. This Built has definitely helped me with that. And I do really appreciate their product. So you can go check them out at built.com. You can also go to Walmart or Sam's Club if you want to pick up a 4-bar box or a 13-bar box of whatever flavors that they have in stock there. Cookies and cream, coconut puff. You've got brownie batter puff as well. Churro puff. These are different flavors that you can find at both those stores. If you're looking for a more specialty flavor, again, you can check them out at built.com. Highly encourage you guys to take a look at this product. And once you do, you can thank me. All right, continuing along here on the Monday edition of Locked On Kentucky, Lance Dahl hanging out here with you. Really appreciate it, everybody watching along. I've got a new dumb question of the week. So I don't remember if it was last week or if it was the week before. I asked you guys out of the blue, what your favorite Mario Kart character was? Which if you still feel like answering that and you didn't answer it, you can leave that in the YouTube comments below at Locked On UK on Twitter if you feel like doing that. It was more about a conversation I was having with a friend. This one has absolutely nothing to do with anything. Some of you said that you really enjoyed the question, so I'll ask you guys another dumb question here. What is your favorite video game of all time? I want to know. I'm actually genuinely curious. What's your favorite video game of all time? This can be from any era. This can be from any console, and you can discuss to your heart's content how much you like the game, or you can just leave the name of the game in the comments below. Again, at Locked On UK on Twitter, or if you're listening on YouTube. If you've gotten this far in the episode, I really appreciate it. And if you leave that comment, it'll show me how far you've gotten, which I do appreciate those who stick around for the entirety of the show, or most of the show. You guys are awesome. So again, if you've not subscribed on YouTube, you can go ahead and do that. If you're listening on podcast, follow the show. Would really appreciate it. So a question here from Great Kentuckian. This was from YouTube. He asked me this a couple of days ago, and I think it deserves its own segment. He said, should Kentucky fans expect a 10-plus season win season this year? The offense continues to get better in the O-line area while the returning 3 starting wide receivers and a fast backfield. However, the defense will take a hit on experience in the passing defense and linebacker positions. What are your thoughts? Kentucky losing to Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee. That's what Great Kentuckian says. If you've not caught on, he's talking about football, something that we've not talked about in a hot minute here on the show. I think, honestly, since football season ended, we have talked about more conference-wide topics than we have like individually for Kentucky. So let's change that. So let's take a look at their schedule. I think that there's no better place to start then asking the question, does Kentucky or should Kentucky fans expect a 10-win season or more this season? I think it's in the cards. I'll say that just to start to kind of help answer the question at the beginning, Great Kentuckian. I think that it's honestly more possible than bringing back Will Levis for a third year. I really do think that Devin Leary is going to be good for the Wildcats this season if he can stay healthy. I think Liam Cohen's going to love using this kid. I think he, again, if he's able to stay on the field, is going to produce numbers, significant numbers that we've not seen in a while for UK. So let's walk through this schedule here real quick, understanding that, like Great Kentuckian said, it's a better O-line on paper. The receivers are back. You've got a speedy backfield. I think you're going to be throwing the ball more now that Liam Cohen is kind of solidified here. Your defense, I'm very curious to see what the front 7 and the secondary does, to be honest with you, because there are patches. To be completely honest with you, there are patches that need to be filled and roles that need to be, filled again. I'm curious to see what Mark Stoops and co. do with that side of the football. I don't think it's going to be bad. I just think that it needs improvement. So let's walk through the schedule here real quick. Ball State is your season opener. This should be a win, but I want to point out something real quick. The quarterback here, at least the one that's expected to start, Lane Hatcher. If you don't know the name, he's been in college football for, I think, his 18th season is the right number there. A kid, but Hatcher has been in college football for quite some time. He's entering his fifth year, played a couple of years at Arkansas State. If you do remember back in 2019, they were running a dual system, I think with Logan Bonner, where Hatcher and Bonner were splitting time at QB. Really fun to watch, really fun system. Hatcher was great in his second season with Arkansas State. I think he was just as good, but maybe a little bit worse. Third season, things kind of fell off the rails, and then he transferred in, and I think less of that had to do with the fact that it was him and more of the fact that it had to do with just Arkansas State as a whole. And regardless, he transferred into Texas State. I believe he had like a stat line where he was like 19 touchdowns to 10 interceptions or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. And then he is now transferred to Ball State. Started his career at Alabama, by the way, in case you didn't know. So Lane Hatcher, very experienced QB, going up against Kentucky in week one. It's kind of similar to Miami last year. It's a MAC school with a veteran quarterback. Last name Gabbert. Can't remember the first name of the kid that we played. It might have been Brett for Miami last season. But regardless, it's an interesting week one opponent. Week two, Eastern Kentucky. Can't tell you anything about the Colonels other than the fact that Kentucky should beat them. Akron, Joe Moorhead, if I'm not mistaken, is still there. Former SEC head coach. I think Kentucky wins this one, though. At Vanderbilt. Now, this is an interesting game because Vanderbilt, for the life of me, I can't really understand now. Clark Lee has kind of made this program just weird in a way, which is something that I don't think that you would expect out of Vanderbilt. I would think you would just expect them to kind of be bad or under James Franklin, better than anticipated. They are in a position this year with a returning quarterback, with some production coming back on that team as a whole. I think that offense should be a little bit more fun to watch. It's in Nashville. That's not a home advantage for them, I don't think, but it's going to be a neutral site game, so to speak, and I think it should be tough. I'm not going to lie to you. After the way that they played Kentucky last year, I think it's going to be tough. Ray Davis, the transfer running back from VU into Kentucky, how does he play in this game? That's going to be another interesting game there. So Florida is your fifth game here in Lexington. I don't know what to make of Florida this year. It's another team where I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know what to make of you. I think Vanderbilt's ceiling is like 7 wins, like in a really good year. Florida's ceiling, 2nd in the East. I mean, to be honest with you, that's just kind of what they've been in the past. Has Billy Napier drug them down below that? May not necessarily be his fault, but maybe some of the things that's happening around that program that kind of have drugged them down. But is Graham Mertz good in a different system after transferring from Wisconsin? I don't know. On paper, it's fun to laugh at him. And there's probably something we're going to do this offseason. But Florida is just in a weird spot. I think that's a game that Kentucky wins, though. We're kind of going on a streak here against the Gators, I want to point out. At Georgia, doesn't matter who's at quarterback, they're going to lose that game. Before we get to Missouri, I'm going to pause for water because my voice is debating, completely checking out here as we continue along. You've got Missouri at home. I think that that's a game Kentucky wins. I know Missouri's given Kentucky trouble in the past, but I think that's a game Mark Stoops picks up. Then you've got Tennessee at home. That's a game I see Kentucky losing. I think that they'll lose that one. Mississippi State is such a tough team. Again, to figure out. It's a first-year head coach that's going to be stepping away from what traditionally that system had been for 3 years under Mike Leach, rest his soul. I don't know what to make of Mississippi State as well because they're just going to look different with the same pieces that they had. Now, they were good last year, but the question is, can Arnett be a head coach? His defense is about this. Something I want to point out about Arnett. He's heralded as a defensive-minded coach, like a really good defensive coach. And I think that he's going to be able to, considering he has had solid defenses at State, I think he's going to be, with a little bit more control, able to have a strong defensive unit. But during his time at SDSU, which is where he was previously, during his time at Mississippi State, the defenses have been good. They've been okay at times, but they've never been elite. Go and look at the numbers. Go and look at his pass rush statistics. Go look at the total yards per game. Go look at the points per game. Whatever surface level number you want to look at, they've not been as elite as people like to make Arnett's defenses out to be. Now, we here are a proponent of the 3-3-5. Personally, I'm more of a proponent of a 4-2-5 or a hybrid 4-2-5, but scheme is not what we're talking about here today, and I don't know enough about it to talk about it to you fluently. So I don't think that Mississippi State right now on paper should be projected to do better than they did last year. And having them on the road in November is a tough one, especially considering the opponent the following week. I think Kentucky, because of bias, should win this game. Emmanuel Forbes isn't there. This is a better offense, a better offensive line. I think Kentucky wins this game, but I would not be shocked. I would not be shocked to see if it's a state blowout. I don't know what to make of it. You have the biggest game of the year, November 11th, at home. You get the Alabama Crimson Tide. And here's where I think the season could be defined. Because at this point, you have one loss to Georgia, or two losses rather, potentially, in your little makeup world. And you've got an opportunity to make a New Year's Six Bowl if you're able to win out here, which I think Kentucky very much so could. Alabama is in a very interesting spot this year. I wrote a piece about this for Sports Illustrated just a couple of weeks ago, asking, are they legitimately on the decline? And as of right now, I think that that's yet to be determined, but based on trajectory, Alabama's sliding, and they really have been sliding playing on the road the past two seasons. So it's a spot where Bama can't feel comfortable, I think, at any point this season, especially given their situation at quarterback. Tyler Buchner is not the answer. Maybe I get cold-taked, maybe he wins the Heisman. Alabama has talent in that room outside of Tyler Buchner that I think, given time in their system, will succeed. Now, I don't necessarily know how Tommy Reeves is going to want to operate a guy like Jalen Milroe or a guy like Ty Simpson, but I can sit here and tell you with confidence Kentucky can beat a team like Alabama if they're playing Tyler Buchner at QB. They can beat a team like Alabama with Jalen Milroe at quarterback if he's playing like he did against Texas A&M. He was turnover prone. His surface statistics were not terrible, but he was turnover prone and inconsistent. You expect as much from a freshman QB. At this point in November, you're probably not going to see that as much. UK can win this game. Absolutely can win this game. It does not matter. Does not matter that Alabama has all the five-star talent in the world. They almost lost to Ole Miss on the road last year. Almost lost to Texas on the road in Austin. You got to see them lose at LSU. You got to see them lose against who am I forgetting right now? Am I just completely dropping the ball? Were those the only two? No, they did. Those were the only two losses last year, season. I'm an idiot. I'm trying to figure out what team did they almost lose to that I'm trying to think of. It wasn't Arkansas. Anyway, point being, Alabama's a vulnerable team, I think, this upcoming season. And I think that Kentucky fans should be monitoring that game as it gets closer, especially if Kentucky's able to figure out Tennessee on October 28th. If you come into that game with one loss against Georgia, you've got some serious prospects heading into the final 3 weeks of November. You've got at South Carolina, which should be a very tough game, and you've got at Louisville before you head to the SEC championship game, potentially on December 2nd. So to answer your question, great Kentuckian, we can throw out numbers here all we want until the season gets closer, until we get to see this transfer portal wrap up a little bit. I think that we're going to have to wait to kind of define expectations for this upcoming season. Ball State, Eastern Kentucky, Akron, Vanderbilt, Florida. I think you start 5-0. 5-1 after Georgia. 6-1 after Missouri. You've got your bye week. Tennessee, 6-2. Mississippi State, I'll say 7-2. Alabama, I'll say 7-3 just because I don't want to be too brash. At South Carolina, I'll say 7-4. And then at Louisville, 8-4 with Devin Leary at the helm this season for the Wildcats. I think that's fair. I think 7-5 is fair. The FanDuel line, if I don't think I mentioned it. The line for FanDuel this upcoming season for Kentucky's over-under win total is 6.5. I think they hit the over, but it's going to take a complete effort on the defensive side of the ball. It's going to take Devin Leary actually rounding in the form and staying healthy. It's going to be a team effort, which I think that you've seen that from Mark Stoops in years past, where they've just been able to get it done because the team was so effective in what they were doing. So if you've got any thoughts on Kentucky's upcoming season, if you think they should be 10-plus wins, if you think it's going to be less, if you think it's going to be good, bad, doesn't matter, leave that in the YouTube comments below, or you can hit me on the socials. That's going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Kentucky. You can follow the show on Twitter at LockedOnUK. You can follow me on Twitter at LanceDahl_. And you can follow the show over on Instagram. That is at Kentucky Podcast. Any questions, comments, concerns, you can leave that in the YouTube comments below or hit me on the socials. I will see you all tomorrow for another episode of Locked On Kentucky. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day, and God bless.